start out with a little history first. Martin Luther published his German translation of the New Testament back in 1522. And to this day, Luther's translation is considered the best version of the German Bible. Martin Luther was a noted theologian teaching at the University of Wittenberg for about 4 years before he was excommunicated from the Catholic Church. And if you've read about him and studied him at all, you know that he authored not a small number of different theological books and hymns, actually, over the course of his life. But Martin Luther is perhaps most famous for his nailing of the 95 Theses on the cathedral doors in Wittenberg in October of 1517, helping to kick off the Protestant Reformation. Luther was a very intellectually talented man. His German translation not only had a major impact on the growing movement of the Reformation, but also on the standardization of the German language. Luther's most notable teaching to come out of these 95 theses was that of justification by grace alone. Martin Luther taught and believed that it was God alone who made an individual righteous. And he believed that God's grace is available only through the faith of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Actually, he wrote, and I quote, "That is why faith alone makes someone just and fulfills the law. Faith is that which brings the Holy Spirit through the merits of Christ." He also added, and in what is called his small called articles, and he quotes Romans 3, verses 23 and 25, he says, "All have sinned," and he changes it a bit, but he says, "All have sinned and are justified freely without their own works by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus in his blood." So he took a little liberties with that quote. But the doctrine of justification at that point then became the central tenet of the Lutheran theology. And this is why, if you've ever read about him, that he took exception with the Epistle of James. He actually called the Epistle of James, quote, the Epistle of Straw. Martin Luther didn't think that the Epistle of James should be removed, though, from the scriptural canon, but rather that it was a lesser work because, in his eyes, Martin Luther's eyes, it contradicted his doctrine, his with a small h, Martin Luther's doctrine of faith alone, which he drew heavily on from his misinterpretations of the Apostle Paul's writing. Now, to a bit of his defense, just a bit, he was reacting against, though, at the time, the dominant version of Christianity that emphasized earning salvation by works. However, Martin Luther's teaching of justification has taken a modern hold on mainstream Christianity. Elements of what he taught were correct, but it was surrounded by much error. This topic of faith, this doctrinal topic of faith, has generated an almost endless stream of sermons and books. Most people in this world settle as Luther did on the quote-unquote faith of Jesus, in their case, in their interpretation, meaning that the law has been fulfilled, means it's completed, that it's done away with, that the law has been fulfilled by Christ, and so works are seen as trying to earn our salvation. Mr. Ramsey mentioned faith a number of times in his first message. What is the true understanding of what faith is from the Bible? I want to look at this doctrine of faith today, but from probably a less common view. So the title of my message today is this: The Faith of Christ. The Faith of Christ. Let's begin with a Strong's Concordance definition of the word faith in the New Testament. The word that's translated in English as faith is from the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. This Greek word pistis means persuasion, that is, credence, which means belief in or accepting of something as true. It means moral conviction. And again, it's talking of a moral conviction of religious truth or the truthfulness of God or a religious teacher. It also means reliance upon Christ for salvation. By extension, the system of religion or the gospel, the truth itself. It means assurance. It means belief. It means to believe. Faith. And it means fidelity. Let's talk about how Christ spoke of faith. I know that if you're here, you've heard many sermons over the years on faith that talk about trust or complete confidence in God. And I know I've given sermons on faith from that perspective. And that point is not wrong. But what I'm going to suggest today is that point alone is incomplete. Let's learn back at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we're going to see here that Christ asked a question about faith here in Luke 18. Luke 18, we'll start in verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 8 of Luke 18. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, Get justice for me and my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. I'm just going to fix this, and she's just going to keep coming back and bothering me. So his heart is not right. Then the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find faith on the earth when he returns? But it is a very interesting question, because especially when we consider the context of the broader discourse here. Just previous to this statement that he wrote, excuse me, Jesus gave the parable of the persistent widow. And as we read, we could see that the judge at this time was corrupt, probably at that time, seeking a bribe. But the widow was inconsequential to the judge because there was nothing of value that she could give or do for him. But through her persistence, the judge addressed her grievance just so she'd go away. Notice again verse 7. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Also in the Webb version, it says who exercises patience with them. But then what is faith? What does the faith Christ is seeking to see in us have to do with the example that we just read of the persistent widow? Let's drop down and read verses 10 through 14 as we continue here to consider the very the very next parable Christ gave. Starting in verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He said, God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. Verse 13, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So what is the lesson here for us regarding faith in this parable? Right, we read here the Pharisee was all about what he did and who he was to deserve to be seen as righteous. Whereas the example for us here, the publican, knew in his heart that he had nothing of his own to be seen as righteous. We can see the clear distinction here that's missed by many people today. Now, we know we're not to be extortionists, unrighteous, adulterers, etc. We are to, of course, we're supposed to pray and we're supposed to fast. We're supposed to study our Bibles. We're supposed to pay our tithes, etc. We know those things. But what we must see here is that any righteousness we have, any righteousness we have is not to be compared to someone else's life. It should be connected to someone greater. Brethren, our righteousness, like our faith, is what is in direct correlation to our relationship to God. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. Paul, as was mentioned in that earlier message, Paul had quite a bit to say on faith himself and instruction for us. And we'll look at just a little bit of that today in the second split message here. But Romans chapter 1. Verses 16 and 17. Again, Paul giving some instruction here on faith in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." What we need to understand here is that we have to have faith to build faith. Does that make sense? We have to have faith to build faith. And how do we do that? Now, on the surface, it seems like you needed 3 years of experience to get an entry-level job. But verse 16 instructs us. Let's look at that again. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Verse 16 tells us that belief comes from God. It tells us clearly, belief comes from God. What Martin Luther didn't like about the Epistle of James is exactly what was missing in his teaching. Again, let's look at verse 17. Oh, I'm sorry, drop back to Romans 10. Romans 10. We're going to read verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word. We've been taught, we understand that our works do not earn us salvation, but they do ground us in salvation. And we understand, I hope we need to understand, that our works are to reflect God's instruction recorded for us in His Bible. Turn back to James 2. James chapter 2. This is here we can see the way apostle, this is what the apostle James wrote about this. James 2 verse 20. But we'll read verse 19. That's wrong. James 2 verse 20. Verse 20 says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith is that work without works is dead? Our works that he's talking about here, they develop our relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father, and they move that relationship from just a casual relationship to a relationship of sonship. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We must believe, as it says, that He is. So this starts to answer our question then from Romans 18, verse 8. If a person doesn't believe in God, if a person doesn't believe there is a God, then faith never starts. What about what we read in Romans 1, verse 17? How do we, it tells us we have to live by faith. How do we live by faith? How do we live by faith? And this is, brethren, what Martin Luther, and then by extension, what mainstream Christianity gets wrong today. Remember, Martin Luther taught that faith in Christ, okay, just believing in Him, was all that was necessary for grace to be given. He believed and he taught that our sins are forgiven as long as we just believed in Christ. That's pretty convenient for us if it were true, because it doesn't require any change on our part. Still in Hebrews 11, look at verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things not seen. Brethren, our faith is from God, and we're going to cover that a little bit more in just a moment. But we need to understand that our faith is built on trust and confidence, as we read here, in God, whom we cannot presently see. And the starting point for faith, that comes from God. And so our faith then becomes defined by our relationship with God. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Are you still there in Hebrews? Again, our faith then becomes defined by our relationship with God. In Hebrews 12:2, it tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right throne of God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Please turn back to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to look at some scriptures here now. We're going to really start exploring what I mentioned earlier, the faith of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2, we'll read verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith. So again, we're talking here about, again, the faith of Jesus Christ. This particular passage, brethren, is one of the many places where the Greek would render this statement, faith in Christ, differently than what the translators presented. I'm not a Greek expert by any means, but let me explain a little bit. Greek nouns are almost always in the genitive case. That's talking about the relationship of one noun to another, not the dative case. That is, the object receives the indirect action of the verb. That's all fine, well and good, but let me explain. The dative would indicate that faith in Jesus Christ, that it is faith in Jesus Christ. The nouns here, faith in Jesus Christ. Sorry, the nouns are faith and Jesus Christ. Now in English, we would require a word called a conjunction to be with faith in Jesus Christ, like the words and, or in, or of, in, to, with, other conjunctions. But translators, as we read this, should have used the word of here. But in many versions, they chose to use the word in. But again, in the genitive case, which is the possessive case, like my book, your pencil, your house, those are all possessive. What it should say in the beginning of verse 16 is the faith of Jesus Christ. We're talking again about that faith belongs to Jesus Christ. And so as we start to understand this, by having the faith of Jesus Christ living in us, we can be justified by the works of the law, because we are no longer under the penalty of death demanded by the law, and because we have Christ living in us to keep the law as he intended. We need to understand, brethren, that faith on our own, as human beings, is very shallow. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah 6, chapter 64, in verse 6. Again, reflecting back on the statement where I said, on our own, faith on our own as human beings is shallow. Isaiah 64. In verse 6, where it tells us, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. tells us about our righteousness, our own. It's like filthy rags. And one of the things that we receive through the Holy Spirit in us is true faith. Not just human trust. It's true faith. And the knowledge that Jesus Christ is a source of that faith. Not us. Not because we're so smart. It's not us. Christ is a source of that faith. And it's that kind of faith is established in us by God's Holy Spirit. So again, if we connect all the dots, Jesus Christ is the source of that faith, not us. He's the source of that true faith. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read verses 28 through 31. We've read through these scriptures recently in a sermon, but we're going to look at them again from another point of view. Verse 28, you know, with the story here, Christ is walking out on the sea to the boat, and they're frightened. Right? Verse 28, and Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And we know the story. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to you, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did Peter begin to sink? Because he took his eye off Christ. He took his eye off Christ. Remember what it said in Hebrews 12, 2. I can read it to you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We cannot ever take our eye off of him. Turn over one page, at least in my Bible, to Matthew 15. And we're going to read verses 21 through 28. Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he, Christ, answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as to your desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This woman from Canaan had great faith because she knew where that faith came from. She knew that that faith came from Christ. Let's look at the book of Luke. Chapter 17. We'll start in verse 1. just to pick up the context, we'll concentrate on verses 5 and 6, though. Luke 17, verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." In verse 5, the apostle said, "Help us." They said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." We need to pray in the same way, asking God to increase our faith. If we look back at the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, it's going to talk about the kind of faith that I want. I believe that we all in this room want. Mark 11, read verses 22 through 24. And so Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Verse 24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." But again, I want to have this faith spoken of, the faith to move mountains. And I believe all of you do as well. When we consider the mighty acts of the prophets, the mighty deeds of the apostles, the willing martyrdom of the saints down through time, and the power, looking ahead, and the power and the miracles that the two witnesses will have to do, all of these things were and will be possible because of their very deep and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Scripture come to mind. Let me see if it's really what I want to say. It may just be I made up in my head. It's true. I did remember. We want, they had, and we want as what is described in Philippians 2:5. You don't have to turn there, but Philippians 2:5, where it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Brethren, the apostles, the prophets, the saints down through time, again, looking forward to the power and the miracles of these two witnesses, these people truly had the mind of Christ in order to reflect what he is able to do. So I want to start wrapping this message up then. How do we then develop godly faith? How then do we develop godly faith? We've already discussed it, that faith comes from a close relationship with God. How do we make that relationship stronger? How do we develop that relationship in a stronger, in a better way? If you want to look back at Romans 10, verse 17, we'll look at just a couple examples here. How do we improve our relationship with God? How do we get closer to Him? Romans 10:17 tells us one way. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to read His Word. We need to listen to His Word. Because by this, we can begin to see God for who He is. Not who Satan will want us to think He is, or who mainstream Christianity tries to teach us He is. By doing this, we begin to see God for who He is. We see His love. We see His character. We see His mercy. We see His patience. Again, by staying close to God, by reading His Word, by studying His Word, we see what He is. Second point that we can consider on how we strengthen our relationship with God is we do our part, as we touched on back in James 2, verse 20. I'll read it to you again. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong chapter. James 2, verse 20 says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So we do our part, like it talks about here. It means that we apply God's Word in our life all the time, and what we think, and what we say, and what we do. And we have to remember then, in the doing is the becoming. See, brethren, by living out the Word of God, we take on the mind of Christ, as we read earlier in Philippians 2:5. And as we take on the mind of Christ, then we internalize His faith. Again, we do our part. We also need to be the persistent widow that we read about earlier. We need to be like the Canaanite woman with God that we read about earlier. The last point that I have here as we wrap up is how we enhance our relationship with God is we need to wait on God. Romans 14, verse 28. There's no verse 28. Romans 14. Anyway, we need to wait on God. To more fully see His will and to more fully see His desire for us. And so I ask, where does our faith lie? Do we have the faith of Christ?